Are you ready to honor the shield? With our Falcon and the Winter Soldier recap and review podcast. I'm James, and with me here is Chad. Hey, Chad.
Hey, James. I'm ready.
And we just wrapped up WandaVision, right? And a lot of people really loved it. I was kind of met on it. But the point is, it was huge and, like, revelatory and had a big moment in the culture. And so I'm sure Falcon and the Winter Soldier is going to live up to that. And it was a great idea to put it immediately 2 weeks after, right?
Oh, absolutely. It's going to solve real questions like, how do we save this boat so we can save our shrimping company?
Right. What does the Winter Soldier do when he's not on screen?
Right. How do his dates go?
All right, well, maybe just before we get into it, did you have an overall impression? Did you like it? Did you think it was just okay? Did you hate it?
I mean, it was fine. It was fine. I think it was well produced. Like, it looked really good. The action scenes in the beginning of the movie, sorry, in the beginning of the show, mm-hmm. it felt like I was watching a scene from a movie. And, you know, sometimes shows, they look a little cheesy when they do special effects, but this looked like they had the full Marvel budget behind it.
Yes. And, well, to your point, there have been a few Marvel shows, some of them on network TV, like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I think was on ABC. And it was a really fucking boring and slow show that looked like shit.
Yeah, it looked like a sci-fi original show. I mean, there were some good parts to that show. It's just the beginning was so bad. It dragged on. Like, you really had to crawl through the shit to get to the gold on the other side.
Oh, yeah, they lost me completely in season one. I could not keep going. Yeah. I watched the first couple episodes of season one, and you only get one first impression, and people are like, oh, it gets better in season four. So, well, count me out. I'm glad it got better for you.
Yeah, and canonically, I didn't finish it either. Canonically, it's irrelevant now, so it doesn't matter anymore. None of the ABC shows, none of the, like, the Runaways. Jury's still out on the Inhumans. That was Marvel Studios' first attempt at making a show, but I think that they're trying to pretend that it doesn't exist because it was really bad.
Okay. So, and the Netflix shows have also been decanonized, so they don't count either.
Right. Well, I mean, there's a possibility that they might bring in Daredevil into Spider-Man. There's rumors.
Okay, but that'll be supposedly through some multiverse shit. All right, but for today we're talking about Falcon and the Winter Soldier. The Captain America series, at least one and two, are a bit more, like, grounded than a lot of the other Marvel series are. It's just dudes who are really good at fighting or fight in an interesting way, fighting in the middle of some kind of, you know, in either World War II or in either modern-day spy games or whatever, and... These guys are the two supporting characters, and I like Anthony Mackie. I really only have seen him in Marvel shit and then also in the episode of Black Mirror. Did you see his episode of Black Mirror?
Nope.
Oh, God, it's so good. I don't even want to tell you the bare bones of what it's about. But yeah, everybody, Black Mirror season 4, for the episode with Anthony Mackie. Don't read anything about it. Just watch it. It's a trip. It's one of the not scary ones. It's one of the just bizarro ones.
Yeah, I have to check it out. I like the show. I don't know why I stopped watching.
Episode 1 is called New World Order, and I think, you know, that is something kind of a trope in the Captain America, like, comics as well. Like, the names have these kind of, like, oblique references to the power of the state or the empire or something like that.
Right. Vaguely a social commentary, but maybe not.
We start out with, like, a 10-minute action sequence, and I guess what, the French terrorists from Captain America 2 are back. In the MCU, there's a big problem of French terrorism.
They had captured an American soldier and they were trying to bring him to Tibet. Am I remembering that correctly?
No. I think they were captured an American soldier and they were trying to bring him into Syria where they didn't have, like, according to international treaties or whatever, Americans didn't have the right to be there. Interesting to me that a big thing that we get in this episode is that the world has fallen into chaos, not as a result of the snap, but as a result of the blip, where you'd think in the 5 years post-snap, it would have ushered in like an age of unprecedented peace and cooperation. And maybe it did, but now everything's shitty again because they brought everyone back.
Right. Well, I think there's probably like a scrambling for resources. You know, like Thanos, his argument was, you get rid of half of life, then suddenly there's going to be enough food for everybody to go around. Well, they got used to doing things one way, and suddenly there's twice as many people in the universe to feed. I mean, it's going to throw all sorts of things out of whack. Not to mention, the people who were gone, they don't, if there was some kind of world or semblance of world peace, they don't know about it. You know, they're going to come back with the same attitudes they had when they left.
Excellent point. So now Marvel gets into the work of apologizing for having a slow and thoughtful character and dialogue driven show in WandaVision with this huge action set piece. And, you know, because it's the Falcon, they send him on the mission where the dudes have flight suits.
Yeah.
If they were just dudes standing on the ground with guns, well, they could just send in regular soldiers, maybe. But they're like, get the bird guy.
I felt kind of bad for the, like, when they jumped out of the plane with the flight suits. It's like, what do they think they're going to accomplish? They're in essentially flying squirrel costumes,
mm-hmm.
and they're fighting the guy who has rocket propelled falcon wings and a murder robot on his back. Like, they didn't stand a chance.
Yes. And it is also, it's just funny that, like, they're up against the Falcon and they just happen to get counterpicked, like, hardcore. They picked the worst Earth-based hero for this. If they were up against Spider-Man, man, they possibly could have got away, but not against the Falcon. And it just reminds me the Family Guy bit of the Decepticon who turns into a canoe. And he's like, well, when there's a battle on a gently moving stream, you're going to be glad I'm there. So yeah, I mean, the action scene is pretty good. They're flying through the canyon. You actually see this in the trailer, and the trailer didn't look that good, but I thought it was better here. And there's also like two helicopters, and the bad guys are moving between the helicopters, and, you know, so is he. And he eventually he throws the hostage out to like fall on his own, and then he jumps out of the helicopter, and then he just straight up murders the goons inside. He just blows it up, and they all die.
Is it just me? Like, I was struck by the amount of just murder, like just thoughtless murder that Falcon was not even hesitating. And I thought about this, and I know we're going to get to it in a second, but maybe they're trying to juxtapose him, his glorified murder,
mm-hmm.
with the Winter Soldier, like doing the same thing.
His shameful murder. Right.
But it was, but it like weighs on him heavy.
Well, that's the thing in like, you know, the pre Zack Snyder DC movies, including and up to the Christopher Nolan Batman movies, Batman, Superman always show like restraint and they don't kill people. You know, they'll even go to great lengths to avoid doing it. Where the Marvel characters will just like straight up kill, you know, red shirt, putty patrol bad guys. They'll just kill them. And Sam was just like an enlisted man, right? Like he was just a soldier before he joined Captain America. That was another thing I want to talk about. Was Sam the only dude in the army with the bird wings, or is there a whole unit of bird winged men?
So when I tried to remember what happened, I thought that he was part of a team. So presumably he is the best one on the team.
Yeah, maybe he's the captain or something of the Falcon.
But I couldn't find a specific reference to that,
mm-hmm.
to the fact that he was on a team. So I don't know. But it does kind of seem like he was just in the military, so there are just a bunch of other Falcon backpacks floating around somewhere.
But yeah, the scene resolves. He kills all the French terrorists. They head back to... I'm not sure what city they're in, sorry. But to, like, some set-piece city in the Middle East. I guess Syria-adjacent country. Take your pick. I don't think they're specific.
Why do I think it was Tibet?
Tibet? No. That's in China.
I don't know why I thought it was Tibet.
Right, so they head back to the city from Casablanca, and they're chilling out there. And it's him and, I don't know, like, his assistant? And we get a lot of, like, very expository, snappy, kind of, you know, Joss Whedon-esque snappy dialogue, where I say something snappy to you, and you snap back at me, and then I snap back at you. And I really don't like this kind of dialogue. I guess a lot of people do. Yeah, let me key up a clip of Sam. And did you catch this dude's name? His assistant? This guy?
No, I didn't, but I'm ashamed that I didn't, because that character actually takes on the mantle of the Falcon in the comics when Falcon becomes Captain America.
Okay.
But I don't remember his name. But did you say you were going to queue up a clip? That's a thing we can do?
That's apparently a thing we can do. Guy's name is Torres. Lieutenant Torres.
I take your word for it.
You see these guys? These are the guys you got to worry about. I've been stumbling onto their manifestos on message boards. They call themselves the Flag Smashers.
Was that a new thing? Bad guys give themselves bad names?
There's a lot worse names than that one. But basically, they think that the world was better during the blip. Trust me, it wasn't.
Trust me. Every time something gets better for one group, it gets worse for another.
Yeah, essentially, these people, they want a world that's unified without borders. So you can see why a lot of people are into that.
So they introduced the idea of, I guess these are the bad dudes from the trailer, the Flag Smashers, and I assume that they are characters from the Captain America comic book, I guess.
Well, there's a character named Flag Smasher who's kind of sounds like, I mean, it's definitely derived from that character.
Okay.
I don't know anything about him. That I actually didn't know about him until I watched the show and did some research on that name.
All right, interesting. So yeah, Lieutenant Torres and him, they're talking about this terrorist group, and he does this weird thing, and I didn't put it in the clip, but like where he's like using AR, and he comes across like a bloody paw print or whatever. And he's like, "That's it, the Flag Smashers."
Right.
And so what they basically want, like, open borders, those villains. Like, come on, that's the best they can come up with. Maybe what's wouldn't it be more interesting if, like, they wanted to, I don't know, like, re-kill half of everyone on Earth or something, right? That, to me, that's more of an evil plan than, you know,
open borders,
which is a policy that some people do prescribe to already. I guess they're just not militant enough about it.
Well, I think that they were trying to, on paper, find a way to make a villain the opposite of, like, patriotism. Because, like patriotism is, like, you know, pride and, you know, valor for your country. And it's very much like, you know, you represent one organization. So the only way that you can have the opposite of that is either anarchy, which anarchy is anarchy, and we've seen that before. Or, I guess, open borders. It doesn't sound bad.
No, it doesn't sound that villainous at all. Like, especially in you know, Marvel world, quite different from ours. It's already been completely leveled by an alien attack. So if there was one thing that was going to unite the world under a one world government or whatever, it would probably be the looming threat of complete annihilation from space aliens, right?
Right, that seems reasonable.
That's usually what does it in science fiction, at least. Like,
right. A nuclear deterrent from space.
So then we go to what I actually thought was a pretty good scene, because, like, it is interesting to know, like, how this shit, which was introduced in Endgame, actually, like, played out in real life. So apparently the public thinks that Captain America died fighting Thanos, I guess. They don't make it too clear, but he's gone. And it's actually public knowledge that he offered Sam the position to be the next Captain America. Sam turned it down, so now they're going to retire the shield and put it in the Smithsonian.
Yeah.
And who should we see in the audience but Don Cheadle there playing Rhodey? And they're going to talk about how, like, you know, they're both sidekicks and their best friend superheroes died, which, honestly, like, kind of a good scene.
Yeah, I liked it. I like how the shows are handling, on a smaller scale, the things that happen bigger in the movies. Like, with the blip, in Spider-Man, they just kind of made a joke out of it, and then they kept playing it as a joke. And we talked about this in WandaVision, too. They're dealing with, like, what that time chunk means that people miss, like what that represents. And it's going to, I don't know, I'm appreciating those little stories.
I have a lot of problems in this show with characters' performances, and the one character, the one actor at least, who's like giving a good performance throughout the entire episode, as far as I'm concerned, is Anthony Mackie, and Don Cheadle always kills it. And so this was a nice scene, an interesting scene.
Yeah.
Although it also kind of jumped out to me that it was like, okay, thank you for cameoing, Colonel Rhodes. See you perhaps in the last episode.
See, to me, it felt like they were introducing him as like a mainstay character. I know he's not going to be here every episode, but it felt like if I didn't know better, I would be confused why that character suddenly vanished from the show.
Well, this is going to be a six-parter, shorter than WandaVision in episodes, perhaps longer in overall time. But I would assume Rhodey has a part to play in the big final set piece or something. So we cut from there to the Winter Soldier. He's killing people in what I think is maybe the Soviet Union. And he snaps out of it, and it turns out it's just like a PTSD stress dream. And then he's talking with his therapist, and she's trying to get him to talk about this nightmare that he's been having, but he's too cagey to bring it up, and she knows he's lying, and he's also supposed to be, like, I don't know, in the 12-step serial killer program, so he's supposed to be making amends, but to him, making amends is like tracking down the people on his kill list that he hasn't killed yet.
So that list, do you think that the list was the three steps that she was talking about, or do you think that he's supposed to be doing something with her, but instead he's doing it his own way? He's trying to make things right his own way.
Oh, are you saying perhaps what she is his like government assassin handler or something, and she actually wants him to kill the people on the list?
No, I think there's two things going on. I think that they want information from him, so he's helping out by, like, you know, divulging all the information that he has from all of his missions throughout the decades. But I find it hard to believe that. What am I trying to say here? Like he had the old man in the book, and that didn't seem like something that the military would have cared about. I don't know. It seemed disconnected to me. The book and the meeting seemed disconnected to me for some reason.
No, I agree with you. Maybe it's just kind of, this is what Bucky's been up to. He's still killing people. And I didn't much care for this scene because, again, like, it's just everything the therapist says is snark, 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 and then my problem is, like, Sebastian Stan either does not want to be here, or has just, like, forgotten how to act, because this entire episode, he mumbles everything he says. So he might be good at being, like, a grimacing, stoic killer. Maybe that's the kind of performance he could do. He cannot do, like, depressed emo guy. It's just him. I'm not having any nightmares. Like, it's really not good. I'll just play a little bit of it here.
Oh, come on, really? You're gonna do the notebook thing? Why? It's passive aggressive.
You don't talk, I write.
Okay. I crossed the name off the list of my amends yesterday. Don't worry, I used all your three rules.
Don't worry, I used all your three rules.
Yeah, you know, I guess when I was watching it, I didn't...
Like, do you see what I'm getting at?
Hearing the audio and, like, trying to picture it in my head, it does seem lazy.
And it actually gets worse as the episode goes on. So then we kind of see what his living situation is. He's, I don't know, living in a tiny one-room apartment with a bunch of other sad sacks. His best friend is an old Japanese man whose son died. Him and the Japanese dude are friends, even though the Japanese old man is very crotchety. And they go out for sushi together. And the old man, you know, because he's so kind and avuncular, he sets Bucky up on a date with the obnoxious but pretty sushi chef.
Obnoxious?
I found her to be really annoying.
She was fine. Sorry she wasn't Darcy.
Right? Should have been. Should have gotten her back to play a different role.
A different role.
So then we get the scene again, like, okay, what's Anthony Mackie's backstory? Because we don't really know, other than that he was a Falcon soldier man in the War on Terror. Apparently he's also from a fishing family in, what, somewhere in the American South? Was it Louisiana? I really did not find this sequence that interesting at all.
I don't care about this goddamn boat. at all.
Everyone was saying, like, oh, this the actress that plays his sister, like, oh, it's such a powerful performance. Like, I did not find this performance impressive. I did not find this dialogue very, it's like so expository. Well, when you left home at 18 and I had to do all of the family responsibilities, and then 5 years after that, as you know, our parents passed away. Like, again, I get there's a utility to expository dialogue, but like, there's, there's got to be a better way.
Well, I mean, couldn't you have just like, let us infer a little bit, you know, like,
right.
The only line that mattered was, I'm not going to let you sell our families, whatever Anthony Mackie said. I could have pieced the rest together from that. Just one line.
I thought we were going to discuss if we were selling it.
We did. And then you were off fighting Dr. Spacecake or whatever while I was holding it together for 5 long years. Now that the world is going back to normal, this thing's got to go.
We grew up on this thing. It's not just mom and dad's name on it, Sarah. This thing is a part of our family.
You know the situation we're in. This is why I prefer not to dwell on it in front of everybody.
But what if we don't have to sell it?
Can I talk to you?
What's good, Big Sam?
Oh, what's going on, man?
So as you mentioned, the principal drama here is that, I don't know, the fishing industry is not going so well. So they got to sell the fishing boat. And even though Sam doesn't work on the boat anymore, it's a very strange situation. It's like he wants to force his sister to continue working as a fisherman, even though she doesn't seem to want to.
Yeah. I didn't even think of that angle. That's hilarious. It's like, I'm going to go fly around and be a superhero. You need to stay here and work on this ship that's falling apart. Well, there's a couple things I want to point out.
Mm-hmm.
First off, And I can't take credit for this. I saw it on some YouTube show, whatever. Their parents named their boat after themselves.
What's the name of the boat?
I don't remember, but he said, in one line, Anthony Mackie says, that's not just our parents' names on the boat. It's the, you know, it's our family, whatever. I forget what it was, but that's their parents. Imagine buying a boat, James, and naming it the James.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bizarre.
It's weird. It's super weird.
And perhaps in truth, this actress who plays his sister is a good actress. I just don't think she's been given great material to work with. Again, and I make this joke all the time with Ryan. It would be like if you and I meet up someday, Chad, and I'm like, ah, well, if it isn't my good friend Chad, who I've known since I was 9 years old, how is your newborn baby and happy marriage? Like,
So, do we find out why they're failing? Like, are people not buying the fish? Are they not catching the fish? Like, is a loan going to fix the problem? Is it because right. The boat's not working anymore? Like,
maybe the boat needs to be repaired. Would it not make more sense to perhaps, like, spend the loan money on a new boat?
Right.
So strange to me, and we'll get into this when we come up to that scene, but apparently all the superheroes are, like, cash poor. That, like, being superhero as a job does not bring in any money? A bizarre system. You'd think, like, at the very least, Tony would have left him a little bit of money. Well, he's a trillionaire, right?
Yeah, well, see, now, I actually thought of this. That's a really good point, but he was gone for 5 years.
Right. No one expected to need to take care of him, I guess.
Right. Stark wasn't paying into the... But then again, I don't know, he did leave... Peter Parker, a giant fleet of space drones that can kill any target that he wants, even though he didn't exist. So I don't know. Who knows how these things work? But yeah, I did think it was interesting that he's dirt poor. Also, before the snap, don't forget, Falcon was on the run. He was not working for the government at that point. He was on the other side of Civil War.
Well, this will be more pertinent in the next Falcon scene. But so we get to see the date that Bucky goes on with the plucky manic pixie sushi chef girl. And, you know, she's a little so random. And so in the middle of the date, she pulls out Battleship and they start playing that. And I don't know, it's like the liar's game in Game of Thrones. Every time you sink a battleship, you have to answer a question truthfully. And we get the backstory, the sad backstory. Of the old Japanese man who's Bucky's new friend, his son mysteriously died.
When I went on my first date with my wife, the first thing we talked about was acquaintances, children, death.
Yeah, you're playing Connect Four, and you're like, how about the bag lady? Did you hear her family was killed in the Yugoslavian Revolution? Very sad.
Yeah. Right. Want to go out on another date?
And again, like, I'm not in love with this girl's performance. I find her to be pretty obnoxious, but I get people could disagree on that.
She's a bit character. I'll be surprised if we see her again.
D8, sucker.
Hit.
Drink. Come on, drink.
Right, okay.
Wow, you really good drink.
Yeah, well.
Do you have any siblings?
I have a sister. I have four.
Miss, drink. Are you close with your parents?
I was. They passed away. D5.
I'm sorry. Miss. I think it's really sweet you're spending time with Yori. It's been hard for him since his son died. I think not knowing how it happened is the hardest part for him. It really messed him up. You know how we call a guy whose wife died a widower? Or if your parents die, you're an orphan. There's no word for someone whose kids die. Because it's like the worst thing that can happen.
Excuse me.
That was some good writing there at the end, that line, huh?
Yeah.
Such a good line. It really stuck out to me because they lifted it almost word for word from an episode of 6 Feet Under.
No way.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the more famous lines from 6 Feet Under, too. So a very funny thing to steal.
You know what I find interesting? If you lose a spouse, you're called a widow or a widower. If you're a child and you lose your parents, then you're an orphan. But what's the word to describe a parent who loses a child? I guess that's just too fucking awful to even have a name.
See, maybe they did, maybe the writer didn't steal it. Maybe they're trying to tell us something about this character, and that is that she liked 6 Feet Under.
Okay, well then actually I changed my mind. Then I like her.
Yeah, see, there you go. See? We can all find ways to get along.
Or you know so what? She's one of those people that, like, when she wants to say something profound, she'll just say something that she heard on TV.
Yeah. 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 And you know, don't give anybody else credit. Just pretend you came up with it yourself. So can I ask you a question about, like, the timeline here a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
He's upset because his son died. Totally reasonable.
Yes. Mysteriously.
Mysteriously. Bucky, like, woke up back in the second Captain America movie, which with the 5-year time jump would have been like over a decade ago,
right?
So the hit would have had to have been before then. So so there's a lot of time being spent on a character, on a side character's son's death that took place probably 20 years ago.
Are we supposed to assume that the Winter Soldier killed this kid's son? Right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah. And so he's making amends by being his friend or whatever.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did we not get there yet?
No, I was that revealed in the episode?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
His son the one trying to unlock the door in the flashback?
Yeah.
Okay, shit. Yeah. Okay. I don't know. So, I don't know. Maybe Mr. Yori had kids when he was like 18. And so this is a very long time ago or something. I don't know. If you want to make amends, tell Yori, like, yeah, it was me. I'm sorry that you don't know what happened to your son. I killed him.
James, you didn't. Why do you think he left and went straight there?
I was probably tuning out, man. I really did not like the Winter Soldier stuff. Like,
wow. I actually, it's funny because I think I like that plot better than I like the Falcon stuff. The Falcon stuff seems so boring. But this is like, you know, diving into a character's psyche and like having him deal with the skeletons in his closet, the ghosts of his past, and like trying to make amends for terrible things that he's done. I think that's a much more interesting story than Shrimp.
Yeah, perhaps the story is better, but you know, Anthony Mackie's like actually like seems like he's giving a shit and trying in his scenes.
That's fair.
Sebastian Stan's just like, I had a sister. I was close to my parents, but they died.
So do you think the sister, that's the first that we've heard of his sister.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that they're introducing that on purpose? Do you think that we're going to see her or maybe somebody else from his bloodline?
So is she a 90-year-old woman or does he have a sister in a metaphorical sense?
Well, no, I'm thinking like if he had a sister back in
World War II, she's got a kid and now
she's got kids or something. Yeah,
perhaps. I don't know.
Because Buggy, he's struggling with, like, identity, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe could be a father figure to the next Winter Soldier or something. Sure, why not?
The Spring Soldier.
We got a pretty good comedy relief scene here with the only other actor whose performance I thought was good, which is, like, the asshole banker who's, you know, very happy. He's, like, a star fucker, so he's happy to see one of the Avengers in his bank. And for whatever reason, even though Anthony Mackie now has like a ton of money and is a world famous crime fighter, he won't approve their loan.
That's proof of earnings, and I know for a fact that we qualify for an SBA loan.
Under the old terms, sure, but these days, what with everyone just showing up, well, things tightened up.
Funny how things always tighten around us.
Whoa, easy there. Look, I'm on your side. After all, he's a hero.
It comes back to the conversation we were just having. Apparently, they don't have any money. There's no money in saving the world, I guess. And I just thought, so why go to the shitty little bank in your hometown? Set up a Patreon
clearly he's a celebrity. Do a couple of public appearances.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Advertising deal or something.
Something. Get a deal with an airline.
He could, if he did like a single ad spot, he could demand so much money. Yeah, I saved the world from Thanos. Okay, if you want me to do this 30-second ad, you're gonna have to pay me $10 million.
He can make almost as much as Robert Downey Jr.
Right, and then you know you can lift the boat out of the water and put it in a museum behind your mansion or something if it's that important to you.
I think it's funny. One thing that the banker says during that conversation is, "You have no financial history for the last 5 years." It's like, well, of course not. Right. He was gone.
And there's also the intimation at the end from his sister that this is race related, which kind of shows that this show, not afraid to go there, touching hot button issues of racial discrimination as well as a little bit of like international political intrigue with the Flag Smashers, right? That they want to have a more equitable world or something. Like, so who's the real villains, right? That's where they're going with this.
Do you think it's going to pay off? Do you think they're like setting something up?
I sure hope so. Otherwise, they're just going to lampshade these political issues without any payoff or without having it be a big part of the story, which might mean Marvel likes to do.
They do like to do that. They like to say, hey, look, we're relevant, but not really.
We're putting these hot button issues from real life right into our story, but just for a second, and then we're moving on to something else. Like,
there were some interesting lines in the credits. I remember reading them and thinking that they were pretty politically charged, but I don't remember what they are now off the top of my head, so I apologize. But I don't know. It would be really interesting if they pushed some kind of racial or social commentary angle in the show and not just make it about, you know, who's going to be Captain America and how do we beat the Flag Smashers.
Then at some point we glossed over this. There's a scene back in the A plot where Lieutenant Taurus tries to go to a Flag Smashers meeting, but he gets flag smashed in the face and then he can't go.
By someone who is clearly superpowered.
Yeah, she has some level of super strength, the same way the Winter Soldier perhaps does. And then, and I did like this, the guy who took Sam's shield calls a press conference. And so his sister's like, oh no, Sam, quick, you gotta come see this on TV. But whatever happened, had like, they were just like, and now for the past, like, how did she know
Yeah, yeah. She was already visibly upset. Sam,
right. Yeah, perhaps that scene went through a rewrite or something, because it didn't make any sense. She's like, Sam, you've got to see this. And it's like, now for a press conference.
It's kind of a trope from like old sitcoms, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And so the dude that he gave the shield over, which I guess is some named character from the comics, has betrayed him, and he's not putting the shield in the Smithsonian. He's giving it to this new Captain America, and then when you see his face, it's not the Captain America we know, it's some dude with an enormous nose. And Sam had the chance to take the Captain America shield, and he didn't take it, and now they've given it to some rando.
So, a couple things. First, he is the character Super Patriot from the comics, and he kind of goes back and forth, good and evil. I actually thought when they were announcing the new Captain America that they were going to give him his name, but I think maybe they're leaving room for him to take on that mantle when Captain America inevitably goes to the Falcon. Do you think that he's so in this scene, Anthony Mackie's clearly showing like some level of disapproval. Do you think that he's feeling guilty for not taking on the mantle, or do you think he's upset because like somebody else is taking on his friend, like his friend? Like, do you think he's more upset that he isn't Captain America, or that he's ruining Steve Rogers, Captain America?
Well, there's a few ways that this could like resolve into the story. This might be the interesting angle if they are going to go the kind of route of like American race relations and discrimination. If they are going to make that a part of the plot, like it's like, oh, I turned down the shield, but still, like it was given to me to decide what to do with it, and I decided Captain America should retire, and then behind my back they gave it to some white dude. So clearly they think that, like, I wasn't the proper person to either become Captain America or even decide what should happen with Captain America. So that would be an interesting angle. Or it could just be that one side of it where he's like, no, Captain America decided that either I should be Captain America or nobody. And so it's not proper that they should give it to this guy. And then also there's the kind of a throwaway line where the politician dude is like, and we need a hero, not just for the whole world, but solely for America. And right. So here's Captain America first.
Okay. So there's a theory going around online that there's another line early on when when Falcon is fixing his little robot friend, Red Wing, where he said that every time that the people at the Air Force try to fix him, he starts acting all buggy, so he has to fix it himself. There's a theory that what's happening there is that's the military trying to sabotage his tech to get him out of the way.
Okay, that's interesting. I'd like to see, maybe perhaps that'll come back up, but honestly, the theory crafting in WandaVision was such a bust, for the most part. And this story seems rather straightforward to me. I don't really have any theories about it. Like, I don't know. My guess is that at the end of the show, the superpowered person from the slag flashers, the flag smashers, is gonna turn good or something. Okay, that's my big prediction.
Wow, you heard it here first, folks. Yeah, you're right. There's not as much to theorize.
What I do hope, though, is I hope that Super Patriot or whatever has superpowers, because otherwise, like, it's just going to be Sam with bird wings beating up on regular dudes, and he himself is kind of a regular dude. I have a question. In the comics, does Sam ever get, like, super soldier serum or whatever?
I don't believe so.
Okay. So he's like a Black Widow. He's just a very, very tough person.
Yeah. Yeah. But to be fair, I don't think that that the Winter Soldier does either. I think that he was like programmed, he was brainwashed into being like a great martial artist, and his super strength just comes from his metal arm. I don't think that he actually has any kind of
okay.
Yeah, I think so.
He's also apparently immortal.
Well, he's because he keeps getting frozen over and over again, so he's only been alive for like a week at a time to do a mission.
And then they, okay.
Exactly.
I somehow watched those movies multiple times and never figured that part out.
Oh. So, in the credits, I mentioned the credits earlier. There's a lot of information in the credits. I don't know how closely you looked at it, but some of the writing on the wall, it speaks about a character named Power Broker.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard about this at all?
No, this is a Marvel character.
This is a Marvel character. What do you think Power Broker does?
Is he some kind of information broker or something? Does he buy and sell people's secrets?
Nope. Remember, this is about superheroes.
Oh, so does he take a power from someone else and give it to someone else?
He's a mad scientist who makes people into superheroes.
Okay, interesting. Well, maybe Sam will become a superhero then.
Or maybe that's where the Flag Smashers are getting their powers from. Right. Power Broker's a bad guy.
Okay. Well, that is a way for perhaps Sam to get Steve, like, super strength and agility, and then he'll be able to use the shield. I would like that.
Yeah. So in the trailer, we see both of them with the shield, like, throwing it around at the walls and trees and stuff. When does that happen?
Yeah, well, I think maybe they're going to plan a daring heist to take the shield away from Super Patriot, and then he's going to track them down or something. Or perhaps they're going to do yet another red herring fake out where Super Patriot is just an actor or model and has no superpowers. I could see
Wouldn't it be great if Mephisto was in this show?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably Lieutenant Torres is Mephisto.
Totally. He's got to be.
To make that comparison, though, it's like they keep talking about the Flag Smashers and Flag Smashers this, Flag Smashers that, and it turns out Flag Smashers is just some kind of gonzo PR marketing campaign for a sports drink or something.
So one last thing. Timeline wise, this is 6 months after the blip. We know that because Sam says that he's been working with the Air Force for 6 months, so it's 6 to 7 months after the blip. Mm-hmm. Which means that this takes place after the events of WandaVision. Do you think we're going to see either any of the characters from WandaVision or White Vision, who's now just kind of flying around somewhere doing something?
I would say probably not. And apparently what I took from that is that, like, the events of WandaVision maybe not widely publicized, because this dude Torres is still being like, ooh, what happened to Steve Rogers? Where you think that would be old news if everyone knew what happened with Wanda.
That's fair. Good point.
So I did not hate this. It was not as bad as I expected it to be, though I did not think it was very good either. I thought a lot of the performances, aside from, like, Anthony Mackie and Banker Guy, either the performance was kind of bad, or in the case of, like, Anthony Mackie's sister, every one of her lines was just like, oh, this is only happening because of that thing in our backstory.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of funny. WandaVision got a lot of flack for being only 20 to 30 minutes long every episode. I feel like they could have cut this down to 20 or 30 minutes, and it would have been a better episode.
Yeah, this was a 50-minute first act to Captain America 4, basically.
Yeah.
I hope it gets better. I
think it's got potential.
I hope someone needs to wake Sebastian Stan up so he's not, like, half asleep throughout all of his scenes. Like.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, maybe it'll be better when they can play off of each other, because they didn't talk to each other at all.
Well, that was, I shared a clip to the Discord of, like, some of their, like, soy tete-a-tete banter that was just, like, didn't really awful to me. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, guys, catch us this time next week. We're going to have the next episode of Falcon and the Winter Soldier. And then later in the week, Ryan and I will be here for the first of the 4 hours of the Snyder Cut.
Oh, no. I'm sorry.
Apparently it's not bad. People are saying it's good. I'll see for myself.
All right. Good luck.